It's like an oxytocin inducer. After about a year, we were getting closer because consistency breeds connection, builds connection. And so it just brought us closer and we decided to make a deck of cards of our own. So date night with a question card. And then we started teaching others about it.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summers Tribe. Welcome back to the 18 Summer Show. Jamie and I here, just the two of us this time. We're going to talk about something that's pretty important in our life. We've done a lot of teaching on it. It started as something that we didn't even think was going to be worth talking about. But again, a simple yet very powerful yet overlooked
rhythm,
and that would be date night.
Yes.
So as you guys know, I had a huge awakening over 10 years ago when there was a lot going on in our life, rebuilding the real estate business from near extinction, and was, you know, growing the family from 2 to 5 kids, adopting the boys, were having miscarriages. I had been approved to donate a kidney to my father, and it changed the way I looked at family life. And I really started to try to set some really, really deliberate rhythms. And one that I wanted to do besides spending, you know, one-on-one time with each of the kids was one-on-one time with Jamie, especially keeping a weekly date night. And I wasn't very good at it at the beginning. And I want to make sure, to say the least.
So it started.
Why don't you kind of fill in from there?
So as you said, things were a little crazy. And so that the wheels didn't fall off, you and I got the suggestion, I think probably from, you know, a counselor of, or some mentor of ours that said,
lots of people have gotten the same.
Yeah. The suggestion of call a timeout, you know, have the ability to just call a timeout and regroup at another time. And so I very distinctly remember calling a timeout and you and I reconvening after everything had calmed down, and we decided we needed some rhythms. We needed some islands of consistency in our life, and that we really needed to start with the two of us getting intentional.
Yep.
And we decided that it would be date night. And I was super excited. I remember being really jazzed because it, you know, it's such a confidence boost to think that you want to date me, and the opportunity of going to have a meal without fingers, not my own fingers in it. And, you know, just being able to dress up and to feel beautiful again and to feel like an adult again and all of those things that you need, and just to further connect with you. And so that's where it started. And you, the first couple of times, if you recall, so here's what happened. I relied on you to do, like, I really
set the date.
Right. Like, I really wanted you. So, okay. So we set the date, but then in my mind, because I was butthurt, honestly, I think in my mind, I was like, well, if he wants to go on a date, well, then he needs to make sure there's a babysitter and that there's reservations and that we know it's going to happen, you know? And I just remember being just wanting to receive. And I think that I felt as though I was owed something, you know? And I think oftentimes in a relationship, we can get to that point where there's some kind of a, you know, resentment or overwhelm. And so sometimes we put a lot of responsibility on our partner. Okay. With that being said, I would get disappointed and let down. You would forget the day or the time, or
we just wouldn't even get it scheduled. It'd be like Thursday, like, oh shit, we can't get a sitter for this weekend. We already have this, and can we squeeze it in here? No, that doesn't work.
And so it felt like you didn't really want to date me. And it was discouraging and it was sad. And then in my already, you know, hurt mentality, it just further discouraged. And so a bad situation with poor intention got worse. And so we called another timeout. This one may have been even more heated than the first one. And we said, okay, we got to do something different. We said we were going to have a date night. We're not having a date night. And you were, I'm certain, very kind and sweet and saying, no, I really do want to date you. Can we please, like, your ADHD mind, right? This is what you say to me so often, hon, you know, my ADHD brain. And so many entrepreneurs are that way, no matter which spouse they are. It's like, but we all live the same life, right? So I remember we set it into a rhythm Wednesdays,
5:30, 8:30.
Yep.
So we set that, which felt good because we're like, okay, everything can be built around it. Like we won't schedule anything in this thing. We can get a babysitter set for that one night. It's middle of the week, so it's not harder to get them like on the weekend, and there's more family functions and activities or sports on the weekend.
Yeah.
Remember? So we were like, yes, this is perfect.
Yeah. So I was super excited again. And I got all dolled up. The children were situated. We got a sitter. And we get to dinner, and I guess we didn't lay any ground rules because you are so important that you brought your phone.
Oh, what a romantic guy. So I text coming through.
And work stuff call. That's not very romantic. I was
even as pathetic to check useless Facebook threads. I mean, what a Casanova.
Painful. I'm like offended while we're talking right now.
Hey,
this is not good for our marriage. I'm
slightly brain damaged. We all know this out there. So with the hustle and bustle and this and getting pulled in and, but I'm providing, horrible, horrible excuse. It's just a dishonoring, And so Jamie would start to do the same thing. So talk about that couple who has the phones out and at the nice dinner. And it's like, that was probably us more so me or, oh gosh. And look, of course I could say, yeah, but work was turning around. Real estate was harder than da, 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 all that. I could say all that shit. And it doesn't hold water. You're absolutely right. So,
yeah. But so what would happen is every time you picked up your phone, I would feel a little less important. I'd feel a little less beautiful, feel a little less shiny. I'd feel a little more resentful and frustrated.
Judgmental. Well, rightfully so. I'm saying that like serious. Like, gosh, that shirt is not a very nice shirt or something. Not that you'd say.
No, I think I was more.
But you might have thought it.
No, I think I was more like judging you. Like, he doesn't want to be here.
We all get a little
more
judgmental when we're hurt or feeling disrespected. And I was. It was, if I remember, I mean, when we started, like, business is not, I don't have to tell any entrepreneur out there, like, you go through peaks and valleys. And if we're in a valley, I'm like, I got to get us out of this. I'm going to do this. But there has to be times of complete and total unavailability to people like you and my children and my friends. I wasn't doing that. That was a good reminder. Mm-hmm. So, what happened from there was my phone was no longer invited. That shit was staying in the car.
Yeah. Well, so the evening ended, and instead of ending romantically, it ended detached and disconnected. And I was resentful. I mean, I had had a great meal on without children, and I felt fancified and whatever, but I was like, okay, so I had a fun night out, but it didn't really feel like it was about me and you. And what we needed was something that was about me and you, yeah, to be honest.
Well, yes. And so then third phase where it's like, okay, phone is not invited.
Yeah, no.
Phone is not invited. And then let's go. We went, there's full attention. But then we got sucked into the shallow level.
Oh, like where the it's dirty like, van and the kids day at school.
How was the kids day at school?
All these home and projects.
What errands do we have to run on this Saturday? Weekend, it's like, oh, stop. The aphrodisiacs are just going crazy here. And so these, and we all get caught in that, the surface questions and the mundane and the day-to-day rigmarole. And you don't want that. And so the finale level, which we want to talk about. So you can see all these things. First of all, we couldn't get it on the calendar. And Jamie didn't think I wanted to date her because I'm just running so hard. And then we couldn't line up the day. So then we picked the right day and time. We thought we could do it.
Yeah.
But then we went, and then damn electronics were getting in the way.
Yeah. And then stupid, shallow questions.
And then stupid, shallow questions. Like, we didn't know it. So what was our, finally reaching a great level date?
I don't remember whose great idea it was, and we can call it yours. You steal my good ideas anyways.
Well, and I screwed up more on this, so let's give that idea to me so it makes me look a little better.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so
I'm totally taking credit.
At some point, one of us was like, ooh, we should ask each other great main questions, so one of us probably Googled what to do on a date, because at 35 years old, we weren't sure.
Dr. Google.
And
I think we started Googling like powerful questions to ask
your partner,
your husband, wife, partner, whatever.
Yeah, we did. And then we would just start, we would ask one a week and sometimes two and sometimes three, because we get really excited now to learn more. And we were getting closer and we were having really deep, meaningful, sometimes, teary, sometimes laughter. It was just a really powerful time to add questions into our relationship and focused.
Breaks the hypnotic rhythm of day-to-day, busy work stuff, takes you below the surface. I mean, the questions we didn't know about each other. Like, you know, one of our favorite ones, who was your
favorite
teacher as a kid and why? What impact did they have on your life? And, you know, we both have those memorable stories that we tell about each of that teacher story.
Right.
You know, and so that was, felt closer to you. I felt like I knew you more. I felt like I was still dating you. I think that's a big problem. Again, like you always joke, marriage is supposed to be old and fat and ugly and boring. And that's kind of the stigma.
Well, they say, it's called growing old together or settling down. You're either settling or you're growing old. And that's just not, that doesn't sound very fun to me.
Keep dating. So, and those questions have helped us. And they're not always easy ones. Like, name a time I really let you down and how I could have been there better for you.
Yeah, that's actually not in our deck of cards because
we've asked that one.
We have asked that one.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
We don't do the advanced ones in the deck of cards. There's some really good ones in there, like name the moment you remember I knew you were in love with me. Like we went back to that moment. And then, you know, other ones, the top three vacations, you know, what would the perfect
day look like
for us? And so it just brings you into a whole different realm that, I don't know. It's been really good for me.
It's kind of like nostalgia land, which is fun. You know, it's fun to live in that, like, what's it? Oxytocin. It's like an oxytocin inducer, I would say.
For sure.
And so what we did, and we, after about a year, and we were getting closer because consistency breeds like that connection, right? Like consistent deposits breeds connection, builds connection. And so
it's the emotional bank account.
Oh, right? Yes. And it just brought us closer and we decided to make a deck of cards of our own. So date night with a question card. And then we started teaching others about it because...
Okay. Can I say something?
Yeah.
You definitely came up with the idea to make it into a deck of cards though. So let's just be honest there.
I did. And I also designed
that was
not them.
Me. So I will take credit for actually asking questions.
Okay. We'll do that. That's a good deal.
But there is zero chance in hell that I had the initiative and the artist angle to be able to do that.
So sure. Okay.
Going to give you full props.
Yeah, that's great. And then we started teaching people, which I think that was also my idea to teach other people how to do it.
Yes, that was you because I was like a class out of this. And I'd say of the classes we've taught at EO and YPO and some of these bigger events, that's been one of the most meaningful.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I love teaching. That's so much fun, but it's so novel. Like no one's doing it. And also, I think like we always talk to you guys about, I want stuff that's going to be easy to understand, easy to apply, and see real results consistently over and over. And I think that's what we've done with this simple date night with a question rhythm. It's helped a lot of people. I remember the last one that we were just at, that we taught at, that couple was, they told us afterwards, about 20 couples there.
Yeah.
And they were struggling in their marriage. And then they said the next day they came up and said, you have no idea how important that was. We stayed up and had the most meaningful conversation we've had in years till like 2 in the morning. That was awesome.
That was really cool. And they both cry. Yeah. A lot of people cry at these things because it's deep. Like it really touches you to know when someone cares enough to still date you. I mean, a lot of feelings that go into dating somebody, your spouse, but, I guess.
And that's why, you know, when people are like, oh yeah, the old lady, the old chain, like I don't join into that nonsense. Like I don't agree with it. Like I understand guys are going to be guys, but there's a lot of people honestly feel like that. And I'm like, when's the last time you went on a date? When's the last time you asked them a deep question about them? So you quit dating them over a decade ago and you wonder why it's stale and boring and drab. And I don't know, this one simple rhythm has been huge for us. We've watched it be huge for others. And it's so damn easy. Mm-hmm. Same bat time, same bat channel, right?
It is.
Don't be an idiot like me and bring your phone. Like if you're the busy one, Amy's got to keep her phone on for the babysitter, but she's more controlled and she doesn't get bothered as much through our business stuff. And then have one or two questions prepared.
Yeah. And if you don't, in addition to the questions, another thing that we teach on our date night is sincere apologies and authentic gratitude. Yeah.
Authentic gratitude or genuine compliment.
Yeah. And so those are like, you want to talk about a mood booster or like an aphrodisiac. I tell you what, you compliment me, like gratitude or an apology, like we don't even need dinner.
Dang. Oh, stop it. See, now you guys know why I really use them. No, but it feels It feels really
Jim
good.
Jim just picks fights so that he can make up.
No, I was real shitty at giving apologies. Apologies just didn't come naturally. Like, it's kind of that entrepreneurial immunity. Like, do you have any idea how hard I've been working? I'm running two businesses. You can say all that, but it's really all, it's a non-event. It doesn't get you out of anything. You don't have immunity. So when I actually take the time to apologize to Jamie and the kids, if I get short or impatient, or, hey, you worked really hard on that, I didn't really acknowledge. I want to say I'm sorry. Thank you for doing that. First of all, yes, at first it's uncomfortable because your ego's screaming at you. But after that, once you do it, there's a relief. There's a lightening of the air, you know, and that's nice. And it is very nice to deliver like a authentic gratitude, a compliment.
I want to stop at the
apology.
Apology real quick, because I think you said something really powerful when you said your ego is screaming at you, right? Like sometimes, I mean, and it goes both ways. It's not just the entrepreneur spouse. I'm an entrepreneur spouse as well, but I also carry the weight of the children and you carry the weight of businesses more. But yeah, the ego is a powerful thing, right? Like it tells you like, no, they're wrong. Fuck that. They need to apologize. Why not? You know, but how quickly a sincere apology changes a quick flare up of an argument versus an actual argument. I mean, like, how many arguments have we diffused? I mean, not that you can count that high, but like so many arguments that we've diffused by just being like, you know what? I'm sorry. And I've learned a lot from you because you say you're bad at apologizing.
I used to be. I think
right, I've gotten... No, but even like you getting better, and this sounds, speaking of ego, I didn't need to apologize as often. However, I know, right? I sound like such an ass. I just don't know how to start this any other way. But because you do, sometimes I will just jump first to apologize because I'm like, it doesn't hurt that bad to just be the wrong one and like, let's move on. You know, like sometimes I'm like, and I know you are too. Sometimes you're like, all right, I'm sorry. Let's go. Let's move on. And it feels good to move on. But again, like if you can do it sincerely, it's much better, whether it's in the moment or five days later or 10 days later.
An insincere apology will only fuel the fire. Like, I'm sorry that you feel that I said something wrong. That's a bad one. Guys and gals out there,
I'm sorry that you didn't like the way
don't do the backhanded apology. I'm sorry. You thought there was some sort of sensitivity to what I said, but you know, make it clean, make it sincere, and make it quick. Like Jamie said before, we always say this in that class, a 10-minute situation can remain a 10-minute situation instead of a 4-day debacle. Because how much could you have diffused? How many times you can look back in your own relationship and you're like, God dang, if I just apologize right there, the next 2 days were like miserable and we were like jabbing at each other and this and that. And so it's like you move through things quicker and go to higher plateaus.
That's good. Yes.
And that's, I think what we've seen, especially in the last 5 years of our marriage, where it's been like, wow, we're like building into bigger and better things and more enjoyment and more adventure and more lovemaking. And so all the good stuff.
Because I feel safer seriously with you because I know, and probably vice versa, because we know that if the other person is wrong, like that we genuinely see each other like, oh shit, I'm sorry, I hurt you, you know, or I'm sorry, I flared my attitude. The other thing would be authentic gratitude when you genuinely compliment the other person. And I don't mean like, oh, you look lovely tonight, but like it's three parts, the SBI, right? Situation, behavior, intention. And this is definitely something you brought to the table because I frequently mess it up. I have my own formula for what this means.
So it's basically, it was something I learned from Patrick Lencioni. He's a really big business coach, author, and he's talking about using that for your top executives. We started using it at our family retreats where it's a specific situation, behavior, how it made me feel, and intention means inspiration for what it did for me in my life. So like one that I've given to Jamie, which I can say now very unemotionally because I've said it before, but I remember the first time I told her, like when my dad died on Christmas Day, I was able to say, sweetheart, you know, dad died on Christmas Day and I was a wreck, but you stepped in and helped with hospice and all the details. And I was just plain sad and kind of stagnant, but you stepped in and handled all those little things like a champ. And it made me feel respected, loved, appreciated, safe, I guess, at that point. You know, you lose your pops, it's a pretty terrible feeling. And I said this, and I said, you know what, that in inspired me, where when tough times hit our family, I can hold more grace and more class and more calmness while handling them. So thank you. So you heard,
all right, guys, we got to go make out.
Yes. So if you guys hear it again, this, what was specific? My dad died and Jamie stepped in and handled all the details from hospice to just food and, you know, all the things, get helping with the funeral arrangements, behavior, how it made me feel respected, loved, safe, team guarded, whatever you want to say, the lots of emotions and inspiration, and inspired me that, hey, next time something happens with our family, I can handle it with more grace, more class, more calmness, more coolness and support. So it's a pretty powerful technique, you know, and you use this with your kids. Like I've said it to my kids before, they live up to these things. They want to do more of these things, right?
And even on like a low key scale. So right before we came in here to talk, Sammy, who's been having a difficult time really listening and following through with instructions, he actually did exactly what I asked him to do. And it wasn't just like in the moment, it was like a 5 to 10 minute exercise of doing what I asked him to do. And he did it. And so before walking into this room, I looked Sammy in the eyes and I said, hey, Sammy, I really appreciate when you do what I've asked you to do. Like that makes me feel, I know that you like it when, his word is generous. He says that when he's mad at me, he tells me I'm not generous. But so I told him, I said, I know that you really prefer when mommy's generous. And I want you to know when you were listening, and it just makes me feel extra generous when I know that you're listening. Thank you. And he was like, oh, you're welcome, mommy. Thank like it was you, just mommy. Really sweet, you know, and with the teens, you know, even just acknowledging, but looking someone in the eye and just genuinely appreciating them is just, oh, it's huge.
Well, we did it. We did it
at Thanksgiving.
For Thanksgiving, the first time I did it, and everyone just was in tears. We did it for Alden for his high school graduation, which was pretty cool. Everyone gave an authentic gratitude. We did it for your 40th birthday in front of like 40 something people. And that was quite an experience. Anyway, so a sincere,
so these are all powerful tools to deepen and strengthen your relationship with your spouse. You can unload these tools with any relationship. You can date your children. You can, you know, apologize to your family.
What? Not like that date. Sounded weird.
You wrote a whole book on it.
Spending QT with your children.
Quality.
I got to make fun. If I said something like that, you'd give me a hard time too. So, but no, you're absolutely right. These things are simple principles, but they are peanut butter and jelly sandwich for relationship building.
Yeah.
So,
and just a reminder that, you know, like you said, that emotional bank account, that relationship bank account builds with consistent deposits.
Yeah.
And,
for sure.
You know, and then, and to return back to those crazy times we had, we still have crazy times. Like nothing has slowed down, nothing has gotten less crazy, but we now have these islands of consistency that moor us to the shore of each other and to our family and to life that really keep us in that comfortable, safe, positive, deepening account building scenario, you know, instead of in a depleting one, we're consistently building because we've created these.
Well, you're making consistent deposits.
Yeah.
If you go, how many times have we been in an event and they say they're struggling? When's the last time you went on a date? Just right. Two of you. Oh, well, we have four kids. Okay. Get it. When's the last time? I don't know, 8, 9 months ago. I said, well, you know, yeah, imagine your bank account if you just kept withdrawing, withdrawing, withdrawing.
For 9 months and never making a deposit. Yeah. Holy smokes.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
So yeah, these are able to be used and tailored to fit. We do have a deck of cards, date night with a question card that is, we could ship. It's not on a site anywhere yet, but.
Yeah, if anyone's interested, we just, well, remember we had like 400 sets sitting in
order. We have 1,000 right now.
Oh, we do. Yeah. Remember when we had that whole set and our buddy in Dallas who we taught for bought them out. And now we have
awesome. I know. So if you want to buy 350 decks of cards for all of
but
your
that is a good we did this for a friend of ours in Dallas. It was a 200 couples almost or 200 people. So it was 100 couples.
Yeah.
And you know that
one Christmas, of the attendees he bought
all every he said, work how much do you have in stock? We're like, oh, we kept 350 packs on hand. He's like, I want them all.
Yes.
So anyway.
So you too might want to buy 350 packs of date night with question cards to make sure that everyone that you know on Facebook deepens and strengthens their relationships. All right, folks, we're into overtime.
Yes.
Take
so
care.
Date night with a question. Enjoy it. Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.